Good afternoon, everyone. The time is now 1:30. The time set for a hearing in case number 316-0186, Eastmoreland Neighborhood Association. We're here on a demolition delay appeal. Do we have anyone here representing the appellant?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record, and please provide us with your mailing address as well?
Robert McCullough, McCullough. I'm representing the Eastmoreland Neighborhood Association. My mailing address is 6123 Southeast Reed College Place, Portland, Oregon, 97202.
Great, thank you very much. My name is Melvin Odner, and I'm going to be serving as a hearing officer this afternoon. And this hearing, unlike most hearings, is all about your request. There's no likely not going to be anyone here representing the city opposing this request. But let me ask, is there a representative of the owner present? Okay, great, sir. Would you like to come and have a seat there? You can have a seat there. Okay. So the purpose of this hearing this afternoon, I'm sorry, sir, can you please state your name and spell it for the
record? My name is Bruce Howard. I work for Everett Homes and represent the buyers, Fred and Cindy Russell.
Okay. Can you please give us a mailing address for you?
3330 Northwest Yeon. Portland, okay. Oregon, 97210.
Great. So again, we're here on this demolition delay appeal. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background. I assume you know because you're sitting in front. But for the audience, I'll just give you a little bit of background. As a part of a demolition application submitted with the City of Portland, there's an automatic 30-day delay, or stay, if you will. I'll call it a delay in the for the issuance of that, unless there is an appeal of that application by an organization that's authorized to ask for an extension. So up until the end of the 35-day period, that organization can request that there be an extension of that period for an additional 60 days. So, and that determination is made by the hearings officer. All of this falls under Chapter 24 of the City Code. Eastmoreland has requested the 60-day delay, and as a part of the determination, what the hearing officer is asked to do is to make a finding on four very, some might say, simple things. And I just want to go over this because I think it's going to help us as we go through the hearing. The first thing is there needs to be a showing that the owner has been contacted. The second thing is that the property is of some significance in the area. The third thing is that there is a plan, and the final thing is that there is a reasonable potential that plan is going to be consummated within 95 days. And so if the organization is able to establish those things, then the hearing officer, and then the hearings officer would grant the 60-day extension. The one thing that is important to know is that the maximum time frame for the city to act on the application is 95 days. And so, let's say, for example, this hearing is happening on the 50th day after the application was put in. Then that means that there are only 45 days left for the hearings officer to either make a decision one way or the other. And if the hearings officer grants the 60-day extension, it really becomes a granting of a 45-day extension. Basically, it's for the remaining time that's available to keep us under 95 days. Does that make sense? So that's really the issue that we're looking at. I'm sorry.
I was going to say yes, Your Honor.
Okay, great. And you can call me hearings officer, but thank you. And so that's really what Eastmoreland is looking at presenting here. And so the way that we're going to conduct the hearing this afternoon, we're going to give Eastmoreland an opportunity to present on those four issues. The owner will have an opportunity to then respond, or the owner's rep will have an opportunity to respond. And then if there are any, and as you each are speaking, if you want to call witnesses, you can do that. And if there's anyone that's not aligned with the owner or the homeowners association, please let me know and we'll give you an opportunity to come up and say whatever you want to say. Okay, any questions?
No, okay. Sir.
Very good. And then because this is Eastmoreland's petition, after everyone is gone, you'll have an opportunity to come back and give us a rebuttal, and then we'll close it up. Okay?
Thank you. Great.
Thank you, Mr. McCullough. Before we get started, I'd like to have you gentlemen sworn in, and anyone who testifies, we're going to need you to swear in as well. And so if you could please raise your right hand, you can sit down. Thank you. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give today will be true?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. All right, Mr. McCullough, you can begin, sir.
Mr. Hearing Officer, thank you very much for the delay to enable me to get back from Chicago.
Great.
And we have done this before, so this is not a new concept for us. And I would note, in fact, in the audience today, you have Nancy Thorington, who is the city lawyer who has helped draft this, and she listens in order to learn of improvements she had to make. And I'm sitting on the committee for her that goes through this particular process, trying to make sure it works as well. So thank you for the summary, and I will make my comments very brief. The property is owned unusually at the moment by the original owners, who have a sale contract with Mr. Vic Remmers. I presume you are one of Mr. Remmers' associates. And so the question of who to contact was not obvious. I talked to Mr. Remmers on the phone and established that, in fact, he did have a solid purchase contract. So the rights here, in fact, are in his hands. And we have talked to him both on the phone, through email, and we've sent him a registered letter as set out in the statute.
Well, and so thank you for mentioning that, because as I was reviewing the file, the one question that I did have was whether or not the owner or the owner's representative had been contacted. And I did note that Mr. Remmers was the person who apparently was mailed the certified
Correct.
Letter.
And the reason I raise it explicitly is because the current statute doesn't make very clear what to do in this unusual circumstance where the actual economic interest is in Mr. Remmers' hands, mm-hmm. because the property, demolished or not, will be Mr. Remmers' in the near future. In terms of the property significance, we addressed that in our filing, and I brought with me a representative from our land use committee who has excellent qualifications, and she can talk at some length to this. But I would leave it to you on whether or not you need that, because I think it speaks for itself. The home has been in the area for many, many years. It is regarded as a specially attractive home. It's part of the original build-out of the neighborhood. It's going to be a contributing home if we go ahead with our historic district, which is well underway. It has been on the home tours on multiple occasions. So I would ask you, Mr. Hearing Officer, whether you would like an additional briefing on that issue.
If this is the person you would call as a witness, and she took this time out of her day to come down here and be available, then I would not deny her the opportunity to do that.
May I yield the floor? And you'll need to take the oath as well.
Okay.
And sir, you, Mr. McCall, you can stay there, and ma'am, you can go here. Can you please state your name and spell it for the record, please?
Yes, Judith Kenny. Kenny is K-E-N-N-Y. I reside at 7339 Southeast 31st Avenue in Portland. I am an Eastmoreland resident.
Very good. Okay, let me swear you in, Ms. Kenny. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give today will be true?
I do.
Great, thank you. Please proceed, and you can ask her questions, or you can just speak.
Well, I will ask you only two questions. The first is, can you summarize your qualifications? And then the second is, will you please go ahead?
Okay. I am a member of the Land Use Committee. I'm contributing to the Historic District Inventory, and I am trained as a historical geographer. I have a PhD in geography. And proceeding, this is a 91-year-old home. As Robert has mentioned, it was part of the original development of Eastmoreland. And in an advertisement that came out in the Oregonian in 1926, soon after it was constructed, it does mention that this is one-of-a-kind home, to not one to be found anywhere else in Portland, let alone in the neighborhood. It also emphasizes the fact that it occupies a corner with a commanding view of the neighborhood. And I think that's what many of the neighbors in Eastmoreland would also say, is that it's difficult to drive east on Rex without taking in this particular home. It's 2,500 square feet on a 10,000 square foot lot with generous landscaping around. And it's, as is the tradition in our neighborhood, it continues to have 100-year-old trees on the adjacent streets, maple trees on the north-south street, so just to the west of the home, and an elm tree on its southern boundary, which elms are lining, even yet, our streets in Eastmoreland, an east-west direction. So it, in many ways, I would say, kind of brings together both the quality of the landscape and of the residential development. It was the first owner, person who occupied it was actually the chief engineer in charge of the Portland Water Bureau. It was one of the more expensive homes, actually, at the time. And as that might suggest, it has many architectural features that have been admired by the neighbors over the years. As Mr. McCulloch said, it's been on two of the Dunaway School's Christmas tours, so people have had an opportunity to come into the house and see the wrought-ironed railing that takes you from the entryway up to the balcony overlooking the street, the main door. It has hardwood floors throughout that would be obviously lost if this house were to be demolished. With all of the different architectural details, I would emphasize the hardwood floors, the original woodwork, hand-hewn beam ceiling in the living room. Then again, looking at the quality of the windows, there are the carriage house windows throughout. There are a set of seven French doors with leaded windows that are part of, again, establishing the quality of the materials, the age of the materials. This is a home that has been lovingly maintained over the years. I think we were all very surprised to hear that it would be potentially coming down. And it really is this combination of dramatic architectural features, quality building materials, and it's the fact that it honors the landscape that we've come to associate with Eastmoreland.
Great, thank you. Would you like for us to take that as an exhibit?
Yes.
I don't believe we have that.
Yeah, this is from March 15th, 1926 in Oregonian ad from the Ladd Estate Company.
Can you make that exhibit, please? Great, anything else?
That should do it.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Kenny.
Thank you. Mr. Hearing Officer. I'll move to the next item, narrative describing the plan to save the structure. We were approached towards the end of the 35-day period, in this case being the Neighborhood Association, by a committee of the neighbors who asked us to file for this appeal. The committee of neighbors are well-established in the community, relatively affluent. There's not an unusual solution in this situation. We have been through a number of these in past years. Some succeed, some have not. The common model would be for a group of the neighbors to purchase the property from Mr. Rimmers and then hold it for a period until they found a suitable family to occupy it. And we have one of those projects underway now. In this case, it's a fairly straightforward process. Mr. Rimmers and I have crossed swords before. I actually like him, even though I don't agree with everything he does. And the two of us have talked about this. My understanding from him is there is some room for negotiation. Obviously, that will be his choice, not mine. But it is important for me to know that there may be some options that can be explored. I've talked to the neighbors. They have room for negotiation. There are options they feel can be explored. Those include, obviously, an outright purchase, but also options that would move the house or reposition it on the lot. It's my understanding that Mr. Rimmers and the neighbors are likely to meet in the near future. And obviously, you will know more about that than I. But when last time I talked to him, that did seem to be the plan. So the question of whether there is a feasible plan to save the property, either by move or purchase, it does appear there is. The next item is the pro forma budget and evidence of funds on hand. Your predecessor in the second hearing criticized the writing of the statute a little bit, thank you very much, because the terms were not sufficiently defined. And we listened very carefully in the committee that's been working on this. As I noted, Nancy Thorington is here listening very carefully as well, taking notes, which is as it should be. They're not easy terms to define, but let me note, my qualifications include being an expert witness in economic matters. I've testified before federal, state, local courts, the United States Congress, the Supreme Court of British Columbia, and any other variety of areas, legislatures in a variety of states. So this is not an area in which I lack expertise. I'm also someone who has bought and sold a great amount of real estate in my career. So the issue of how you buy something, how you plan to buy it, how you would put together a deal is an area in which my opinion has some background and support. The usual solution for this is for it to be a neighbor-based process. In the previous solutions, the neighbors have taken the lead. Neighborhood Association itself is a 501c3. We're a not-for-profit organization. And so real estate itself is not our role. In the previous solutions, the neighbors have raised the money themselves and taken direct ownership. We have two of those underway in the neighborhood at the moment, one on Woodstock, one on Martins. Both are viable and going ahead quite well. In this case, we do not know what Mr. Rimmer's request would be on a buyout. And I presume he's a tough businessman, a smart one. It'll be high. But the neighbors we have all have substantial financial resources. It's not easy for me in this to actually describe their resources because privacy is an issue. But the average income in East Moreland is over $100,000. The people in the surrounding areas are lawyers, doctors, social workers, the retired president of Reed College. All of them are of good standing in the community and have savings and own their homes. In terms of funds on need, I included a budget report for the East Moreland Neighborhood Association, even though I do not expect we would be a investor, and the Neighborhood Association raises between $50,000 and $100,000 a year, which it uses for various environmental issues, legal issues, et cetera. And so we also would have the finances to involve ourselves if the board so chose. I have to be very honest with you, Mr. Hearing Officer, if I proposed the board went into the real estate business, they would be astonished. But in order to meet the standards of the statute, we also have financial standing. I checked this morning, we have $80,000 in the bank, so it's not as if we could not make that decision if we so chose. In terms of the pro forma, writing a pro forma on a transaction that doesn't exist with the counterparties not identified and the deal structure not identified is a creative act, and I apologize for that. But I also wanted to follow through the language in the statute.
Well, maybe I can just ask you a couple of questions so I can have a better understanding about what the pro forma is based on. In your discussions with some of the potential, let's call them investors, neighbors,
correct?
Have you identified specific individuals, whether it's tentatively or otherwise, who have said, you know, I could probably do $200,000? Have you gotten that sort of input?
I have.
Okay.
And I can tell you also that I might well be one. Okay. There's nothing a priori inappropriate with purchasing a share in this property for resale later.
And with respect to the price, because for my purposes, in looking at this issue of pro forma, I really look for, do you have a reasonable estimate of what the expenses are? Do you have a reasonable estimate of what the resources will be? I mean, that's that. So
yep.
We've got the first part. It looks like you've got potential people to provide the income. And this purchase price of $800,000, that's just a rough estimate for purposes of the pro forma. Is that right?
Correct. And that would be a substantial profit for Mr. Remmers. However, I've dealt with Mr. Remmers before, and his opinion of a substantial profit and mine are not always the same. I chose $800,000 simply because it was a possible number. If it had been $1 million, it probably would have been possible as well. You'll notice in the pro forma, I've raised $1 million, and then when it's turned out that the outflows are only 820, then I've returned the rest of the funds back to the original investors. In this case, the model we've had before on margins is that Mr. Remmers sought $800,000. That's actually where the course of the number came from on a previous negotiation. And that was raised through a variety of means with different investors. And their decision in that case, by the way, is to eventually donate that particular area to the city as a park. So it's been a somewhat different model.
Okay.
However, the numbers and the individuals and the process here is not particularly different than something we've successfully achieved with Mr. Remmers within the last year. And I believe that meets requirements for my presentation. Mr. Hearing Officer, do you have any further questions for me?
The only issue, and I will tell you the issue, and then you can tell me if you think there's, whether you need time to get this information. The evidence in my file does not have the Remmers as being the owner of the property. And so if they're not the owners, then I would be looking to them as being the representatives of the owners. And so at this point, I'm still looking for whether or not we would have sufficient evidence that they're the owners or the representatives, and whether or not the certified letter that you have meets that prompt. And so that would be something that I would be looking at. And so if during the course of this hearing you determine that there is some way to improve my comfort level that we've met that prong, I'm happy to hear it. And I will just give you until the end of the hearing to just let me know.
Let me address it directly, because okay. I don't think there's an easy solution. Mr. Remmers and I have talked several times and communicated by email. And the current owners have signed a sales contract with Mr. Remmers that puts him in effective possession of the property at a future date.
Okay. So real quick, I just want to get clarification. Are we talking about a land sale contract or an agreement, actual purchase and sale agreement where there is, in the next 30, 60 days, going to be a closing?
In the next X days, there will be a closing. Okay. Now, there's nothing public about such a contract. That is a contract between two parties. And until the transaction is closed, it's not something that we can look up on Portland maps. And in fact, it may have terms and conditions we do not know about. So I asked Mr. Remmers himself on the phone, is this a solid purchase commitment? Do you control this property? And he said, yes, I do. And I'll tell you why I asked him. KGW TV came to interview myself, a number of other people on this particular issue, because it is regarded as being historically significant property. And the reporter asked me who owned the property. And so at the end of after she left, I called Vic to make sure that I had my facts correct. Now, you have a representative of Mr. Remmers here representing the seller of the property. And so we should actually let him speak to that issue, because he almost certainly knows more about the purchase contract than I do. He should, obviously. And if he feels in some way that Mr. Remmers is not in effective economic control of the property by virtue of this contract, then he should tell us. So I would yield the floor to him, because he is more likely to have actual information on the contract that governs the future of the property.
Okay. Let me start with a question, and then you can tell us what you want to tell us. Is there an objection to this delay?
No objection.
Okay. That makes things easier, but still doesn't actually address my issue. So here's how I'm looking at it.
As far as, let me clarify, not to the, as far as them giving us notice in proper time, we acknowledge that we received notice, and I've talked to the owners, Fred and Cindy Russell, they are aware of the delay as well.
Okay. Here's what, if there's no objection to the delay.
I misspoke.
And I'm not asking you to commit to selling the property or anything. It's really, my decision is whether or not to extend the time for the demolition permit to be issued. So if you don't object to that extension of time, then I can tell you what I believe I need to actually determine that the owner has been notified.
It does provide a great hardship on Fred and Cindy Russell, the owners of the property. They purchased the property. They've owned and lived in the neighborhood since 1999. They went into contract with Everett Homes to purchase it. Since there was no other buyers available, it was on the market for over 6 months. No one in the neighborhood looked to purchase the property. They kept reducing the price, worked with Cynthia Holcomb, the real estate agent. She continued to call us asking if we were interested, and we told her to continue to try to find a buyer for the property. She kept lowering the price. They kept coming back. We kept telling her, keep trying, do the best you can. Finally, They reduced the price to $750,000, pleaded with us to put an offer together. After we talked to them over the weekend to make sure you talk to your buyers and they're aware of what is happening, she says she had, and they would like to purchase it and would like you to put an offer. At that point, we finally did in the first week of August to purchase the property. And Fred and Cindy Russell, within a week or two, put in the demo request for a demolition on the property.
Is that everything you want to share?
They would like to have the transaction with Everett Homes, and any delay that you do is going to be a financial hardship on them.
Here's the issue. The ordinance says that the notice should be given to the property owner or their representative. I would need to determine that you are a representative of their representative. Based on what I'm hearing, I don't think you are, because you're a party to the contract. And the notice that went did not go to them. Here's why this is important, in my opinion, as I sit here. If it was a land sale contract, there's an equitable ownership. I mean, he's got rights to sue and all the buyers do. But if it's just a purchase and sale agreement where there are contingencies and other things that have to be performed in order for that sale to consummate, then I don't think that makes them the owners. I think that gives them the right to enforce the sale of the property in the event of a purported breach, but it does not make them the owner. For example, if the property burned down today, they're not going to experience the loss. They're going to get all their money back, the earnest money and everything, because the seller can't perform because the property is destroyed. Actually, it might be their option. Actually, they're going to demolish it. So that is my main concern, is that notice has not been given to the owner or their representative. But I don't think that's fatal, because the appeal is pending. I can leave the record open to allow you to address that that issue. I just need to know if you think that's something that can be addressed. Because clearly, what I'm hearing is the actual owner would not agree to this, and the only way you get it is if I grant it based on the required showings.
May I respond?
Sure, yes.
A couple of salient points. The Everett Homes representative has, in fact, appeared today as their representative. And so he has made a statement that he is, in fact, their representative. Now, I understand the nuances you were raising. I'm not dismissing them, but I'm just noting it is impossible for an outsider at this stage to establish more than that. We went through the process by talking to Vic Rimmers and asking him this explicit question: is this a locked-up transaction? That, by the way, was the exact phrase I used talking to Vic on the phone. And his answer was, it was. That's item number one. Item number two, what we have here is a situation where it is Vic's intention to demolish the home. And so the hardship on the sellers is simply a question of timing. And they can close at any time, either before or after the delay. The only reason for the delay is to establish the negotiation with the neighbors. So if he wants to close earlier and make the current owners, if they are the current owners, and I don't mean that frivolously, I'm just saying I have no way of determining what the ownership status is, then he can make that position known and simply close tomorrow. Because his intention on the property is the same whether or not he is the registered owner or they are, because the application to demolish is in. We are happy to yield the 60 days if the negotiations between the neighbors and Mr. Remmers are successful. And that means that we would be able to close with him earlier or make arrangements to move the house earlier or whatever those negotiations resolve. So there's nothing in the timing that's locked in to your decision. So the hardship on them at this point is purely hypothetical. Finally, I'd make one point that simply may be of more interest to Nancy Thorington. I won't address her, but I'll raise it and make sure her ears perk up. The only mechanism for us to determine the ownership is Portland Maps. That's the source. Portland Maps is not usually up to date. And in previous appearances before this particular hearing office, this is before your arrival, by the way, welcome. But in this process, the question of who the owner is sometimes very difficult to determine. Well, in that case, what we did was we went to Portland Maps. This is the previous case, approximately a year ago.
This is the one regarding the tree?
No, this one was 3030 Rex. It was the second of the appeals.
Okay. And well, let me talk to you just a little bit about just the ownership issue. So in our file, we have what's been marked as exhibit number 10. And it's a residential demolition permit appeal application. And I assume it was submitted by Eastmoreland. And on it, you've identified Mr. and Mrs. Russell as the owner of the property. What that does for me as the hearings officer is it creates a mismatch between who the owner of record in the file is and to the party that you sent the certified letter to. They're different people. And so just based on that, I can't say that the notice has been provided to the owner. But again, I don't think it's fatal, because I think it's going to be a simple matter of mailing the certified letter to these folks.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
I'll yield the floor 1 second. That would be fine with us. The neighbors have been in communication with them, so it's none of this is news, but certainly we would follow your order on that immediately. There's no question at all. And as I said, at the time we were just not certain how to proceed, given that all we had was Portland Maps. So we would not know whether it had closed or not until later. But given your comments, we would certainly follow that if that's your decision.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
According to the appeal process, the notification must be given before the 35 days elapse. That's a question.
Well, I think the requirement is that the appeal be filed. I didn't understand the rule to be that the notice to the homeowner had to occur before, but I will take a look at that. Give me 1 second. So in looking at, so this is what we're referring to, as everyone, just to make sure we're all on the same page, is 24.55.200, subparagraph H. paragraph H. And it says in number one, the requesting party has contacted the property owner or property owner's representative to request a meeting to discuss alternatives to demolition by sending a letter to the property owner by registered mail receipt. I'm just going to take a just go up just a little bit. It says, prior to that, the appealing party has the burden of providing, of proving that it has is actively pursuing an alternative to demolition, and must demonstrate all of the following. So, in conjunction with that, it does not say that it has to happen before the appeal is filed. At most, it has to happen in order for me to make a decision. So if I was to make a decision without having it, that prong would not be met. As in, if I made the decision today, that prong would not be met. But if there was a, if we continue the hearing at someone's request, then we ultimately receive something showing that, then it could be. Oh. Yes, and so in terms of the my able assistant just pointed out to me that in terms of the request, so there are two different issues. So it is the request that's due within 35 days, and it does not specify that there has to have been contact with the owner of the property before that appeal happens. And so in my mind, what that means is I'm raising an issue about whether or not the owner has been contacted. And if there was a request to continue the hearing, in order for that to happen, then we would consider that. But I think that because there is that disconnect between who the owner of record is in our file versus where the letter sent, that I would not find that we that letter has been sent.
Mr. Hearing Officer, may I make such a request to continue the hearing, and we will send a registered letter to the owners of record. Actually, we will send it later today.
Okay. Let's see. When could we continue this hearing to? Today is Thursday. Can we do it next Wednesday? So here's my ruling. I think based on the testimony that I've heard about the status of the property being in transition, and that it appears to me that there was a real effort to identify the real owner and send the certified letter to meet the requirements of the first prong to get the demolition delay, I'm going to allow a continuance in order for that to happen. And so we're going to continue the hearing to Wednesday. What is that? October 5th at 9 a.m. And we will pick it up from there at that time. Is there any other issue that we think we want to address in the meantime? Because that's really the only issue that I'm continuing it for. But we can continue with this hearing so that everyone doesn't have to come back if anyone else wants to testify. Is there anyone else who wants to testify? Either way? Yes, sir?
Please. I'd like to say something.
Please. Please state your name and spell it for the record and provide your mailing address.
My name is Kurt Krause, K-R-A-U-S-E. I live at 7325 Southeast 29th. I live in the same block as the house we're talking about. and across the street.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Need to swear you in.
Oh, sorry.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give today will be true?
Yes.
Thank you.
Again, I live on the same block, just across the street and down several houses. This is a house I've admired for a long time. It's part of the continuity of Eastmoreland. Eastmoreland is unique. In fact, it's almost like an island. With the golf course and the college and the creek and 39th defining its parameters. It has, but that uniqueness is being denigrated by some of the things that the developers are doing to our neighborhood, tearing down priceless old houses and building up two other ones, like a block, two blocks from the house we're talking about now. A very nice house on the corner was torn down, and two houses were built upon it, one selling for, I think, $1 million, and the other $1.3 million, or something like that. So, but it's destroying our neighborhood. This is more of an emotional appeal rather than based upon facts. All I can say is that I've lived here for 13 years in Eastmoreland. I've enjoyed it. People move there to enjoy the overall ambiance, and I hate to see it denigrated in the way that it's happening. I'd like to see the neighborhood have a chance to respond to the what you've proposed. I'd like to see the neighborhood have a chance to counter what Remmers might be have in mind, the demolition. We're owed that, I think, by the city. That's it.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Krause. Anyone else? Okay, with that, we will adjourn until Wednesday, October 5th at 9 a.m.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you.
Another word off the